Chapter 1. Evangeline. May 12, 1923. "Nearly there," said Iris Devere. Evangeline Murray hid her annoyance behind a smile. Poor little Iris. She was only being kind, and it wasn't her fault that she was also being very irritating. Ever since they had begun their train journey in Cleveland, Iris had assumed that Evangeline would be a nervous wreck. Evangeline glanced out of the train window for a final glimpse of the United States. Soon, very soon, they would be at the Canadian border, and the adventure would begin. The real adventure. The adventure that would make her, Evangeline Murray, an inconsequential widow, into a star. Her name would be a household word. Was it really too much to ask for? She smiled again. Of course not. "Are you all right, dear?" Iris asked again. Her small face was creased into lines of concern. "Leave her alone, Iris," growled Cornelia Braithwaite. "She's perfectly fine." Iris opened her mouth to protest, thought better of it, and settled for giving Evangeline a tentative pat on the arm. Cornelia Braithwaite lounged comfortably in the corner of the carriage, puffing determinedly on a small cigar. Iris had made a token protest, but backed off as soon as the older women fixed her with a withering stare. Iris had coughed, and Cornelia had continued to smoke throughout the rest of the journey. "You wouldn't object if I were a man," had been Cornelia's argument. "But you're not a man," Iris protested. "And I wouldn't want to be," Cornelia said. The remark had surprised Evangeline because she had assumed the opposite. Everything about Cornelia Braithwaite, from her clumsy brown shoes to the man's necktie at her throat, indicated that the one thing she would like to be was a man. Cornelia finished her cigar, stubbed it out in the ashtray, and gave Evangeline her instructions. "Remember, Mrs. Murray, no interviews. Let me do the talking." "But Cornelia," Iris protested. "They'll want to talk to Evangeline. After all, she's the one who's going to do it." The last word was whispered. Evangeline suspected that Iris could not bring herself to say it aloud, to actually say the dreadful thing that Evangeline was about to do. "I wish we were there," said Evangeline. "I hate all this waiting." "Soon, soon," said Cornelia. "If you look out of the window, you can see Buffalo." "And the lake," said Iris enthusiastically. Evangeline allowed Iris an indulgent smile. There was so little difference in their ages. Perhaps Iris was even a year or so younger, but such a vast difference in their experiences. Being so vulnerable, so easily excited, so easily frightened, was something that Evangeline had happily left behind many years before. However, to keep Iris happy, she stood up, pulled down the window, and leaned out. "Be careful," Iris warned. "It's a very small risk," Evangeline said, "compared to what's coming next." "But you shouldn't bend over like that," said Iris. "Not with such a short skirt. People can see right up your legs." Evangeline smiled. "If they want to look, let them. That's what I say. I don't mind people looking at me, Iris." "I do," said Iris. "I've never liked people looking at me. But I've never been beautiful." "No, you certainly haven't," agreed Cornelia unfeelingly. "But that's no excuse for feeling sorry for yourself. I personally think that beauty is of no consequence. Still, if it brings in the crowd, then Mrs. Murray should show off her legs. She does have nice legs." Evangeline stood upright abruptly and smoothed down her skirt. She felt that there was something unpleasant about the idea of Cornelia looking at her legs. Something very unpleasant. "Not long now," said Iris again. Evangeline nodded and looked at the view as the waters of Lake Erie flashed by. She thought about the water, so very much water, flowing into the Niagara River. Acres of it, miles of it, gallons of it, beyond her wildest imagination. All that water rushing together towards one place. And soon she would be at that place. Soon the world would know what Evangeline Murray had done. She would never be anonymous again and never be poor. Could she be afraid? It was such a small price to pay. After all, it was only water.
How bad could it be?
Joshua McLaren,
May 12, 1923.
His 49th birthday. Joshua McLaren had been dreaming again. The barge. Always that damn barge. 4 years had gone by, but it still haunted his dream. Still at night, he traveled into that nightmare world where the barge teetered on the brink of the falls, and the men on board screamed for rescue. He rolled out of his solitary bed, the bed he had once shared with a wife, and prepared to face the day. His 49th birthday. He took inventory of the various aches and pains that had been caused by his years of living on a Canadian riverbank. Those pains would fade as the day wore on, and the work absorbed him. The other pains, caused by 4 years in the trenches, were not so easily forgotten. He washed his face, decided to do nothing about his red-gray beard stubble, and arrived in the kitchen to find that his sister Nell had the porridge on the table already, thick and creamy and seasoned with salt. Nell offered her older brother a thin smile and surprised him with an awkward peck on his cheek. Happy birthday, Josh.
Aye.
Tea? Of course. 50, is it? No. Josh looked up from the oatmeal. 49, not that it matters. What have you done to your skirt? Nell blushed, an effect which did not go well with her sandy hair and freckled face. Nothing, she said. You've shortened it.
Just a little.
I can see almost to your knees. Well, what's wrong with that? Nell whisked the porridge bowl away from him and busied herself with the sink. But you're a grown woman. Yes, I am, said Nell. Joshua finished his tea. I'll be off. I've got a lot of work to do today. Good, said Nell. Glad to see the back of me, are you? Josh asked. I have things to do. Well, Josh declared,
if it involves anything outside this house, for heaven's sake, cover up your knees, woman.
You look ridiculous. Nell rattled the dishes in the sink for a moment and then said, we're going to have visitors arriving today. Bed and breakfast.
It's too early in the season, Joshua declared.
The earlier the better, Nell said. You will be nice to them, won't you? They're educated ladies from Ohio. I shall ignore them as I always do,
Joshua assured her.
They might want you to help them. With what? Joshua asked. Oh, just something they want to do, Nell said vaguely. I prefer to ignore them, Joshua said on his way out the door. You might not be able to, said Nell. Joshua heard the warning, but he had already made up his mind. No educated ladies from Ohio were going to get any attention from him.